Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by The Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, my new book, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know, available now at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. Legendary all-American frontman and guitarist Mark Farner was the engine that pulled the original Grand Funk Railroad repeatedly to the top of the charts, and today he's a platinum recording artist 30 times over. At age 71, Farner commands the stage with the same intensity and outpouring of love as he did during the summer of 69, and his fans are still flocking to see the captain. The Rock Patriots' synergy and open heart still come through in epic hits that define the generation. Being viewed as a rock star is only one facet of the legacy of the Michigan-born son. Mark is as real as they get. He's a husband, a father, and grandfather, and his fourth decade of marriage to wife Lisa. He's a true family man. After the 1969 Atlantic Pop Festival put Grand Funk Railroad on the fast trace, the band topped the Billboard charts twice with both the anthem We're an American Band in 1973 and 74's The Locomotion. The Flint, Michigan trio reached the top 10 again with Some Kind of Wonderful and Bad Time before Grand Funk Railroad disbanded for the first time in 1976. Farner briefly rejoined Grand Funk during the 80s and 90s and has collaborated with many other artists over the years. However, his focus has been to forge an enduring solo career based upon bringing his message of love to his fans in all corners of the world. Farner, the rock patriot that he is, works tirelessly to honor our nation's service personnel and veterans wherever they are stationed. He wants everyone to remember the huge sacrifices our men and women in the armed services freely give, all to protect our amazing country and freedoms. Over 50 years later, something magical still happens when Farner takes the stage. His voice is still strong and on key, his guitar playing still slick and lightning quick, and his trademark prancing still commands the stage and mesmerizes his audience around the world. Please welcome legendary guitarist, singer, songwriter, and forever captain of Grand Funk Railroad and Grand Funk, Mark Farner, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Brother
Hey,
Mark.
Hey, Brother Ray Shasho.
There you
Good
go, man.
You again this morning.
How's it going? How you been during the pandemic?
Oh, man, you know, we planted a garden, dude, and one thing that happens when you plant a garden, the weeds are going to come.
Yeah.
And you're going to spend a lot of time pulling weeds, and if you don't pull them, you just cut them off, you're not doing the right job. You got to pull them because the roots give you problems the whole time. So we've been really going after that garden because it's the only thing we really got to do, right?
Right.
I mean, I had to cancel all my shows. I have been doing some of the Zoom things, Ray, mm-hmm. and those are kind of fun to do. I did Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. I did Nugent's Podcast. I did some other things for people at Rotary Clubs out in Delaware and in Wilmington, Delaware. And I really like doing that. I like the Zoom, but dude, when you get done playing a song, you're used to hearing applause, and you don't hear squawk. There's nothing have to do. That's what I have to work with. So, as you know, I'm going to work that.
You know, I guess we need a pre-recorded audience, just like baseball has the fake people out in the stands.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah, dude.
Well, congratulations. Today's the 51st anniversary of Grand Funk Railroad's first LP On Time, which was written 100% by Mark Farner.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, Ray.
That's a great album. Timeless. Always timeless.
Got some good tunes on there. I still play them live.
Oh, yeah, man. I've seen you many, many times. You haven't changed. You have not changed, by the way, of all these years playing music. You still have that, you know, 60s and 70s feel. Nothing has changed.
I appreciate that, too, because, you know, that is my aim. I want to put that song in their ears the way they heard it coming off the radio. I don't want to embellish it and take a long guitar solo or do anything else, but just recreate it for them. And when I do that, when the band, you know, that's our goal, and we get together every time before we go on stage, we're praying, Lord, please don't let us suck. You know, we get out there, we give it to them the way they heard it, and the audience, as you know, Brother Ray, the audience appreciates it, and they give me accolades.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, because one thing about Led Zeppelin, you know, what they do, instead of playing the songs like you remember it, they go on and on and just kind of, you know, leave it out there, and it's just too much. You know, you'll hear Plant going, over and over again. Just end the song, man. You know?
Right, yeah. Are they getting sick? What is that song? What is that sound? Oh, it's good to have fun with you, Brother Ray.
Yeah, man. Any progress on, there's a video shoot you did that was done in Chile, correct?
Yes. It's a live show.
Right.
It's a show in its entirety. We are going to release a single from that show, Rock and Roll Soul, and there are excerpts from that show throughout the video, but the video is a guy sitting in his garage with his Camaro and his American flag and his Craftsman tools, you know, the stuff, all American, and his imagination is going, and man, the video starts to unfold, and it's great, and him riding down the beach,
awesome.
You know, next to his girlfriend, and she's beautiful, and their hair is flying in the wind, and the horses are running, and it's done with one of those drones, you know, from above. So it's a beautiful video, and I can't wait to put it out there, and we're going to release it for a free download from my website.
Oh, awesome.
That is going to be the little teaser, Brother Ray.
That'll be great, man. I can't wait for that. You've done a lot of little projects. I mean, you did the Can't Stop video, which, you know, it's drawing over 500,000 views as we speak. You know, that was a really cool thing you did there. I enjoy that.
That was really fun, man. I mean, those guys that I did that with had me come out there to the guitar player's house. That was all shot in the guitar player's house.
Right.
And these are the guys that I met at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp.
Right.
They were one of my bands. I was a counselor, and they came in, and you know, we did our week-long groove, and they, at the end of it, they said, man, we are definitely tighter and a better band because of, you know, being involved with you, and you know, could we possibly think about doing... Yeah, I said, hey, I'm up for anything, really. shoot me the storyline, let me chew on it, and let's see what happens. So they did, and I liked it, and I went out, and we had a ball. We just really had a ball. And these guys, every time I've gone and done the camp, it's on their request that they have me for their counselor. They don't want anybody else because they learn more. And they're funk fans, dude. Let's face it. They really cut their teeth in rock and roll on Grand Funk, and they love me as a songwriter and guitar player.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that camp as soon as all this crap is over with. I did a fantasy camp with the Orioles and did the baseball thing. Now it's time for me to do the rock and roll camp.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm going to request you, too.
They're a lot of fun, man. Yeah. Everybody says that after they've done it, they tell you about how squeamish and how they weren't really sure about doing it, and then after they've done it, it's like, oh my God, I'm coming back, you know?
And these guys aren't really, they're not all proficient musicians, correct? You got a lot of newbies here?
Yes, we do have a lot of newbies, and people that can just barely play. We've had people that come. Dude, we had an 81-year-old lady that came to rock camp, and she wanted to do something. She couldn't play any instruments.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to tell you something. She shook the crap out of that tambourine rim, and we got her on 2 and 4. She was locked in with a big smile on her face and up on that stage, and, you know, Roger Daltrey comes out
and
gives her a big hug, and they're videoing this out front. And I'm just thinking, oh, man, when she gets home and shows this video to her grandkids, they are going to poop their britches.
That's awesome, man. That is incredible. I got to do it, man. I really got to do it.
Yep, it's for the fun, dude. I'm telling you, you'll never have more fun.
Another song you did was with one of my favorite bands, the Ides of March. You did Swagger.
Yeah.
That was cool, man.
with Jimbo and Piedrich, you know, he told me, I have to admit to you, Farner, this song was written because of you. I said, really? He said, yeah, when you came and you did the world stage that first time,
right?
We saw something in you that none of us have. He says, Jimbo, he's a very humble guy. He says, dude, you have that swagger. And he says, and that's the word that came forth. We were talking about you, and you know, the guy, that's the same band for 55 years. They don't have new members. It's the same bass player, same drummer, same horn player, same Jimbo, and they're all family. So, they talk, you know, very openly to one another as family, and they said, yeah, well, you know, let's write this song. And so Jimbo gets busy and writes the song, and then he sends me an MP3 of it and says, man, can you come and sing it with me? I said, hell yes, I can do that. Are you kidding? Come and sing with Jimbo? Oh, man, yeah, let's do it. And we had a ball doing it, and it shows some of the studio work in the video, throughout the video, and the fun that we did have. It's still ringing in my ears, brother.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. I really enjoyed that. The other thing I really liked was the Better Days Coming, which was an all-star. I mean, everybody was on that video.
Yeah. With Kip Winger's Better Day, yeah.
That was incredible. I can't believe they had so many people on that screen, you know?
Yeah, I can't either. I didn't have any idea when Kipper called me and he says, dude, can you do this for me? I said, yeah, man, you just send me the MP3. I'll sing to it and I'll put it down. So, it was a wonderful event. And then when he sent it and I played it back, I went, man, I didn't realize there was all these other people.
I know.
And as you said, everybody and their brothers on that thing.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Everybody can check that out on YouTube because it's awesome thing to see. What was the Ted Nugent Spirit Campfire? What was that like?
That was great. It was kind of reliving some of our early days.
Right.
Like when we were in London, Ontario, Canada, and we were doing this big gig out. It was in a park. It was a festival. In the early days, I'm talking, this is like 69, the summer of 69.
Mm-hmm.
We went over there, and Ted Nugent had opened for Grand Funk. So Nugent gets out there, and, you know, he's a wild man on the stage. and he's running back and forth and carrying on, and then he's not getting enough attention, so he takes the drums and starts throwing them out into the audience. I am not kidding you. He was launching drums from the stage out into the audience. Just a wild man, you know. And as I talk and remember these things with Nugent, and the smiles come to his face. And then later, after that podcast, him and Shemaine were at their cabin in Michigan. They said, why don't you guys come down? So we take him a bunch of vegetables from our garden.
Uh-huh.
And his sister, Kathy, what a sweet girl she is.
Right.
And she runs a silk screening business there and made us up a couple of, because she knows that, you know, we're definitely fisher people.
Mm-hmm.
My wife loves to fish and I love to fish.
Yeah.
So she made me a trout shirt and she made me a bluegill shirt. But his... Ted's, you know, wild antics and everything on stage. The theatrics are for stage, and then when he gets serious, dude, he gets serious, and he can talk with you about just about anything, any topic. And one thing that I know for sure, that he has never took a puff of pot. He's never done any kind of drugs. He might do a glass of wine once in a while. But that's it. The guy is just, he's that way. He's wired that way.
Yeah.
And I love it. And, you know, a lot of people think he boasts about himself. But if they weren't true words, you know, I would take it differently. But what he is, he says. And I appreciate him. Being the Michigander that I am, you know, I'm a hometown boy, home state man, and all my teams are the Detroit team.
That's right. That's right. I got a lot of friends from Traverse City, you know, and this area here, you know, I'm in the Sarasota area. I mean, it's all Detroit here. It's all Michigan here.
Right on.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is, man.
Yeah.
You guys got the snowbirds down there.
Exactly.
That's what they call them.
Exactly. And, you know, you come to Florida a lot, man. You've been to Clearwater. You've been to the Capitol Theater. You've been to Ruth Eckerd. You did that outside Clearwater, you know, the outside show that they did. It was a free show. That's where I met your wife. You know, I think she was carrying the set list, running around, helping you out. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, we love playing Florida.
Yep.
And there, like you say, there's a lot of transplants from my hometown and from Michigan in general.
Exactly.
And when they know that that Farner's coming to town, they all show up, and it's a great time.
They sure do. You're always sold out every time you come down here, man. And every time you're like in a situation where you're, I know you played with Ringo, but you also did like a hippie fest thing and things like that. Every time I review the show, you're on top. You're always the number one act in all those concerts.
Thank you, Brother Ray. I appreciate that. Appreciate your heart, and I appreciate the encouragement, dude.
Oh, man. This has been going on since I was a kid. I want to talk about a couple little things that are serious that you're working on. Of course, it's the GoFundMe page that you have right now. You want to talk a little bit about that so people can donate? The Mid-Michigan Flood Relief.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but, you know, the news showed the floods initially.
Right.
They showed some of the damage and what have you, but then it was gone.
Right.
And then they switched to this, you know, whatever narrative they got going. But the people of Michigan in the Midland area and the people, my friends who sent me their actual videos that they took with their phones, brother, to show me empty lakes and where their house is set, and mm-hmm. then they pan from the house
right.
that was setting, you know, 50 feet from the edge of the lake. Now it's 50 feet from the edge of a bunch of weeds and trash and, oh my God, what happened? And the people that lost their everything in that flood, it's just, Lisa and I were watching one night and we just said, my God, we got to do something. Even, you know, no matter what it is, we got to do something. So we started the GoFundMe page. It's Mark Farner's Mid-Michigan Flood Relief.
Right.
And I asked people to just give a little bit, Ray, because if we can all just give a little bit, it will end up being a lot for these victims.
Sure.
And the money goes to the Michigan Red Cross, who is taking care firsthand. They are there taking care of these victims and the people, you know, who don't have anything because the flood washed it all downstream. And I mean, everything. Their whole life. Some of the people, you know, they just, their whole house is just gone. It's devastating. And I'm proud to do something, at least to try to get it going. And we put a $25,000, you know, goal. I don't know even where it's at, but Lisa and I kicked in some money to get it going, and we just, you know, every time we get a chance like this on your program, Brother Ray, and thank you so much for supporting us, supporting Michigan, and supporting the folks down there in the Midland area that are suffering the most and that are still reeling from it. Even though it's not on your newscast, the people are still hurting, and we do definitely do need the help.
Yeah, one of the headlines said Michigan City could be under 9 feet of water if the dam burst after heavy rains. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. Yeah, I'm gonna post. I'll post a link on all my websites for you, and you know, so you can get some more money coming.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah. So what's happening with Flint as far as the drinking water? What is that resolved yet, or what's going on there?
It is not resolved.
It's not.
They've kind of swept it under the rug.
Oh, boy.
Nobody really has a plan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's nothing positive. And I don't like listening to the BS of, well, if this person should have done this and this. Let's not talk about that.
Right.
I'm over, you know, trying to go after somebody, badmouth somebody because they didn't do something.
Exactly.
And they try to blame.
Yep.
They're pushing blame. But that blame, that's, you know, it's not effective. Because what we really need to do is concentrate on the fix. And nobody is, you know, it's monumental. It's going to take some doing. But they're going to have to replace all the pipes, man.
Jeez.
And all the buildings.
Wow. That's a big job.
It's a task.
Yeah.
It is a huge task for anybody. But if we don't get started on it, it's just going to be more and more and more of these birth defects. I know a fellow down there who is a bass player in Flint, Michigan.
Right.
And his grandson is 4 years old now and still can't talk. There's been a lot of, you know, defects as a result of the lead and mercury in that water and you know, it's not safe to even shower with, but what are you going to do?
Mm.
You know, he's down there telling me, what am I going to do? How can I? I said, get the hell out of there. He says, how can I move? I don't have the money to move. Are you kidding me? It takes money to do all that stuff. Well, that's the way it is for all those folks down there, brother. So all I can do is really send my prayers and hope that somebody comes up with the major fix for my hometown.
You're right, though. Everybody wants to blame each other. I mean, I don't want to get too political, but the Democrats go, you know, blame Trump for everything, but they have no solution for anything.
Exactly.
It's exactly right.
I'm there with you.
Me and you are on the same page as far as politically, anyway. I know that.
Yep.
We're with Mr. Nugent as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say one thing about Detroit. They've been keeping the protesters in check, right?
Have they?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, believe it or not, they've been pretty aggressive, which I'm kind of surprised.
Well, I'm happy. I don't even watch the lamestream.
Yeah.
It changed hands in 1995.
Right.
When they deregulated the FCC, and I'm sure you know about that, Brother Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it turned into a whole different world, and it's the world they want us to believe in.
I know.
It's not the world that we actually live in. It's the one that they want us to believe in, and I don't. I won't go there. Can't go there. Yeah.
Now, I won't either. I'm with you, man. I am with you.
Right on.
I did not know when you had your heart episode that it was that serious. And I heard you talking about the near-death experience you had. That was scary.
It wasn't near. I died twice.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that was an eye-opener, of course. When you've been to heaven, you don't want to come back to Earth. You just don't. Because you realize instantly that you're home. That this is where you came from
right.
to get to Earth. And on that side, in that state of being, I knew all things. I even had the satisfaction of knowing the purpose of the Earth years. I couldn't tell you what that is now.
I
knew on that other side. I knew it.
Right.
And when I passed, I heard the doctors telling my wife, as I'm coming back the second time they paddle me into existence, that he says, we got him back twice, and there's no guarantee we could get him back, you know, if he dies again. We have to get him to OR stat. And when he said that, with like, you know, MASH 407,
yeah.
I was like, man, scrambling.
Yeah.
And they got the pacemaker put in me.
Wow.
But I understood when I was on the other side, I knew, you know, this was my home. This is where I came from. I'm telling you, so much relief comes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize as a human being how much debt consciousness you are eat up with. And this debt and that debt. And I didn't fulfill this. And this person expects this from me. I didn't do this. I owe this person. I owe cash to this one. I owe something to it's all that is accumulative throughout the years, and it's quite a weight we don't realize because it's gradual and it just mounts on us by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, man, it is burdensome. And the Lord says, take my weight, which is love.
Right.
And love is unconditional.
Yeah.
And you won't have any. And so I try to put myself in that receive mode and receive the love that came from that spot I was in. It's not over here on this side. I mean, it's in people. If you got a really good dog, you might experience it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the people just don't seem to have it. They people are turning more and more hateful. And I mean, seriously, brother, there's kind of two sides to things. And one side is very hateful. It's violent. And it's, you know, it's all that crap that you and I don't like. We don't like to see our country in this state.
Exactly.
But the other side is the love that we have in our hearts. And I don't go out and say, I hate this, I hate that, I hate mm-hmm. that. I just go out and scratch my head and try to figure out what caused you.
Yeah.
As if we don't know. I mean, seriously, when they took over in 1995 and started programming people, they really programmed. They did a good job.
They did a great job.
They
yeah.
Not only in their audio presentations yeah. on the radio and the terrestrial stations and the satellite station, but also in the television and the movies and all of this zombie bull crap and all of the, you know, everything's
yeah.
a war. It's got to be a war.
Yeah.
Even Avatar. And the cartoons got to be a war.
Right.
It's got to be a war. Got to take somebody. Got to stab somebody. Cut their head off.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all it's degenerative. And what happens is people, these young kids that get involved, they lose that sensitivity
mm-hmm.
of taking a life or what life really is.
I agree.
And then they can be that mad, out of control, take your life kind of person. That's the way I see it. I look at them, I pray for them, but I would not allow that near me or my family. and this is what I have my Second Amendment rights for.
Right. I tell you, Mark, you know, I've been, you know, as far as guns, you know, I always kept one, but I've been collecting guns lately, and I got my concealed weapons permit now. I mean, and I carry brass knuckles because they're people getting hit in the street.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
I hear you, brother.
what can we do to fix this? Is there nothing we can do at this point?
Well, I believe that it's all theatrics.
Right.
I mean, nothing like this, you know, they broke out overnight.
Exactly.
It started overnight in several cities. It wasn't, this was coordinated.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it wasn't just a random thing that went down. This was coordinated by the, and when I tell you, I'm sure that you will go there with me in your mind, but it the trouble, as my father, Second World War veteran,
yep.
tank driver in 7th Armor Division, would always tell his friends, if you want to know where this trouble starts, trace that money trail to the top. So,
yep.
you trace it back, in 1913, 2 days before Christmas, the Federal Reserve Act was signed in,
mm-hmm.
and we put ourselves back under the power, under the authority of the powers and principalities that we declared ourselves independent from in 1776.
Yeah. yeah.
We got back in bed with these
yep.
leeches,
yep.
with these bloodsuckers, with the insanity that's at the top. And I'm telling you, because of the insanity and the bloodlines that are in that place in our world, that's sending all this crap out and trying to tear down the America that the upstarts are our descendants, you know, the forefathers who
mm-hmm.
who started this country. They're trying to put all that and change that history, even by the books that they teach out of the school. They don't teach the Constitution. They don't teach anything that would encourage you to be a patriot anymore. It's all this horse crap, Marxist BS, but really, the essence of our hope and what we want for our country is in the individual having the relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
These other people that are tearing stuff up, they don't have any kind of relationship with God.
No,
those people.
Yeah.
That have homes and that have something, that have families, they still have a family.
Right.
They, like I, are very concerned about this, but we believe that there's more of us than there is of them, and that what we are seeing is because of that domination that occurred when they deregulated the FCC.
Right.
And because of the families that own the Federal Reserve, they not only issue the currency to the United States, but they issue the currency to Canada and to Mexico and to South Africa and to India and to Japan. And any place where there's been an English settlement,
mm-hmm.
Even in Hong Kong until 1997, they issued the currency. And guess what? When you are in debt to those families that own the Federal Reserve, and you go to your United Nations meetings, whatever way they vote, everybody that's indebted to them,
right.
everybody that's beholden to them,
right.
As a country, will vote the same way. No matter what their conscience
sure.
is, they're going to have to vote the same way these families vote. And this is the quagmire that we are in.
Very sad. It's like the Democratic Party, you know, no matter how off the wall Biden is, they're going to vote for him. You know, even if he can't spell his own name, they'll still vote for him.
Exactly. Yep. That's kind of insanity, isn't it?
It's insanity, man. It's not the America I grew up with, that's for sure. You know?
That's right. And trickle down from insanity is no good on any rung of the ladder.
Do you think George Soros is involved?
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think he's crooked as a pan of guts.
Yep. And, you know, it's funny how you never hear about the Rothschilds anymore, huh?
Yeah, the families that are the owners of the Federal Reserve and the World Bank.
Exactly.
You don't know them. I mean, you don't know about Sharif and Loeb and Loeb, and you don't know about these people because they are hidden, and they don't want you to know about them because they are, you know, they're scared, really. They're shaking in their boots thinking, oh, my God, we got to keep this. So they'll cause another commotion. They'll cause a war here. They'll cause a war there just to keep out of the focus of us people. But because these little devices we have and the Internet, we are able to kind of narrow it down closer and closer day by day, and more people are waking up, more people are waking up. I pray that because we are having this conversation, Brother Ray, that the people that are listening are starting to wake up and they're really getting it.
Well, and, you know, I thank Trump for exposing it all, you know?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I feel sorry for the guy for all the crap he's had to deal with since he took office.
They really came after him.
Yeah, they did.
But it's all that other side. It's all them dark-minded people. And because they own and control the media, they have brainwashed those who watch and believe. I don't watch, so I don't get fed that BS.
Right.
But those people who watch mainstream ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, you name it, they're all owned and controlled by those powers.
Yep.
And that's why they have turned so many Americans against Trump, against good logical thinking. I mean, defunding the police, are you nuts? Are you nuts?
Unbelievable.
It's all segregation. Everything has to be, racial now. Everything's got to be a race-based, and it's all BS.
It is BS.
And the Lord is the Lord of all. And in the dispensation of the fullness of times, which occurred on Calvary, all things became one in Christ. There's no more Jew, no more Greek. That life, that love was given that we would all be taken in and taken back to where we came from. I don't know the purpose of all of that, except I do know that love is in my heart, brother, and I won't let it die. And I know you're not going to let it die in your heart, and that we're going to stand. When we've done all that we can to stand, we'll be standing there.
We'll be standing there. I agree with you. But I tell you, it'd be nice to see Jesus come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus will come back in our actions.
Well, I'd do anything to see him come back right now, because we could use some help. hats off to your dad. You know, U.S. First Star. He was transferred. He was in the 7th Army Division, I believe.
Yeah, 7th Armored.
Right, Armored Division with Sherman tanks. My father-in-law was also in Germany. He was a guy walking next to the tanks. And he lost part of his hearing because of that, because it was so loud. And,
definitely, man.
I take care of my dad. He's 95. He was a Marine, and he was in Okinawa and Saipan. And you don't see too many of those guys anymore, you know?
No, God bless them, man.
Yeah.
They're dropping around us. But, when we can thank them and sincerely look them in the eye and thank them and... It really means the world to them, and we, this is the kind of stuff we should be seeing on our news channel.
Exactly.
And we should be seeing the families who have lost their sons and daughters in these wars, these current wars, and the war on terror.
Right.
They don't show the thousands of U.S. soldiers who've lost their lives. They come back with a coffin covered with a flag. It's, you know, but they don't show. That's not, this should be front and center in the news, but they don't show it because that would get you too emotionally involved. Your heartstrings might make you consider other things that they don't want you considering right now. They just want you pissed off at the president, and so they're pushing that. That's their agenda.
Yeah, I've narrowed my friend list. I got, I don't know, lots of friends on Facebook. I got 3 Facebook accounts, probably 15,000 friends. But I've narrowed it down to the people that think like me. I weeded them out. And today they were showing a fireman. There was a helicopter guy that was fighting the fires in California that died. And, you know, they're saying that he had several kids and a wife. And, you know, that should be front, you know. It should be in the news, man. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And besides my father being the tank driver, Sherman tank driver, my mother was the first woman in the United States to weld on Sherman tanks.
That's incredible.
At Fisher Body there in Flint, Michigan.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, man.
Did your dad, did he make it to the Battle of the Bulge?
Sorry?
Was he in the Battle of the Bulge by any chance? Because I know his division was transferred to the U.S. First Army later on. I don't know if he got transferred or not, or stayed with the 7th Armored Division.
Yes, and he returned home with 4 bronze medals.
Wow.
You know, 4 major battles, brother, when a lot of tank drivers didn't get to see the second one.
Exactly.
And we were out tanked. They had the Panzer, and the only way you could knock a Panzer out was to get around behind them and shoot them in the ass.
Yep.
And it's consequently they were stomping a mud hole in us and weeding it dry.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need against the protesters. Just a couple of tanks. That'll take care of them.
Tiananmen Square all over.
I'm for that. I know you're very proud of your, you have Cherokee ancestry, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I was given the Cherokee Medal of Honor.
That's incredible. That's awesome, man.
In 2015, yeah, it was a very heartwarming, a homecoming kind of a feeling to get out there in Tahlequah, in Oklahoma. The 14 northeast counties in the state are... were the reservation. I mean, it's what's left of them is the reservation. But the Trail of Tears Museum is there in Tahlequah,
right.
And people need to go through that museum and just to get an idea of what my people had to put up with. And as far as lives that matter, all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
The Native American, the indigenous people, should be first on the list.
Sure.
If we're going to pay homage, or if we're going to say we're sorry, or if we're going to be we're going to protect somebody, saying you can't criticize. In 28 states, did you know that you can't criticize Israel?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's passed in 28 states.
Wow.
I'm thinking my people, my great-grandmother's people,
right,
need to be, before anybody else, need to be acknowledged. All of the Native American tribes.
I agree.
All indigenous people need to be above any other course of action. We got to go back to the very first, and I believe that the indigenous people need an apology. Just an apology, you know? Sorry we screwed your country up. It's something that's heartfelt, nothing, you know, tongue-in-cheek, just something that's way overdue. And then, you know, get in line behind that. Don't try to use force and use corruption to push your agenda on us, to your Marxist socialist BS agenda.
You know, if anybody deserves retribution, it's the American Indian, man. You know, we took so much from them as far as properties, and I just don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. Why they did that? It doesn't make any sense, unless, you know, I don't know.
Firewater, man. I'm telling you. Once you take one drink,
Right.
And if you are Native American, man, it does affect you differently.
Sure.
That blood wasn't supposed to have that kind of invasion.
Mm-hmm.
But once somebody takes that first drink, it messes with your judgment, and it messes with 100% of the people 100% of the time. I took a defensive driving course because I got in a wreck down in Flint.
Uh-huh.
And in that course, the guy says they took 100 people and they successfully parallel parked between the cones. Then they gave those people one beer or one glass of wine, whichever they preferred, a little 3-ounce glass of wine. And then they put them in the car, and 100% of those people hit the cones.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do it again.
Right.
That's 100% of the time. So just a little bit in a Native American is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the jokes about the Irish drinking and that. I mean,
right.
This is part of that's where they keep their goldfish in the whiskey. Native Americans can't handle like that.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad because I know that they used the hooch to make deals,
mm-hmm,
that cost these poor people their whole country.
Yeah. But we learned fast that treaties meant nothing.
Yep, absolutely, you know? Brother.
It's ridiculous. I had a business in D.C. I'm originally from the D.C. area, and one day, John Voight came, the actor.
Yeah.
He did a lot for the American Indians, and he brought in a guy that was a descendant of Geronimo. And what a nice guy. I mean, he was all in his gear, dressing,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
He looked a lot like Geronimo. He hugged my mom. My mom was part of the crew at our store, and they got along so well. They hugged each other, and it was pretty amazing to meet this guy. He was really cool.
Awesome.
Last time we talked, I wanted to mention one thing. I did interview Pat Vegas from Redbone.
Yeah.
Remember Redbone?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
And he's part Cherokee as well, and they didn't want to do anything or even talk about their ancestry. But Jimi Hendrix is the one that convinced them, because I think Jimi was part Cherokee as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's how they got the Redbone group going on. Him and Lolly Vegas, who were, they were big in California. They were a duo together. But I thought that was interesting that Hendrix got them to, come out and, inspire them to bring out their Cherokee native in themselves.
Yeah, man, God rest his soul, and God bless him for the encouragement he gave to Redbone.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Last time we chatted, you told me a great story. Let's see if you remember. It was involving Janis Joplin, Mick Jagger, and a helicopter. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember, and she was such a fun-loving girl, and she was so misunderstood by most people, but she loved to just hang and talk, and
mm-hmm,
her and I, we weren't boyfriend-girlfriend, we were just really great friends.
Right.
And we would talk about everything and stay up till daylight talking about everything. But when we played that festival, the Rolling Stones were going to close the show, and we're going back and forth in a helicopter from the gig at West Palm Beach at the Raceway over to the hotel, which was, on one of those little island deals out there. It was a pink, I remember it was a great big pink hotel, and we land on the beach and go up, in the dark, of course. When we got off stage, it was probably 2 a.m. or 1 or 2 a.m., something like that, and the Rolling Stones are going to go on, and they're going to be the next ones on the chopper. So when everybody got off this Huey that was done up like a big motorhome inside, I was going up, walking in the crowd, going up towards the hotel, because the roadies had their flashlights out, and they were lighting the path. And I was looking for Janice, because usually we would walk together. I'm thinking, where's Janice? I hollered up to Ralph. I said, hey, Ralph, is Janice up there? Nah, man. I said, give me your light, man. I'm going to go back down there. So I take his flashlight. I go back down to the chopper. I look up in there, and she's, like, massaging the cushions in this redone. And the inside of the chopper is done like a motorhome. It's all plush.
Right.
Got the pin spots and nice material seats, you know, cushy. And she's doing this massage on him. And when I stepped up on the rung of the chopper and I hollered, I went, hey! And she about jumped out of her skin as she turned around and grabs her heart. And she said, you son of a bitch. She said, you scared me to death. You about made me jump out of my skin. I said, I step up a little further and I can see now from my vantage point that she is taking Hershey chocolate bars, smearing them all over the plush material where the Rolling Stones are going to be sitting. She didn't leave one seat untouched. I looked at all around. I see the smudging, all of this looks like crap, you know. And I said, why are you doing that? What are you doing that for? She looks at me and she got that little shit-eating grin on her face, you know. She said, I want to mess up Mick's britches. Telling you, she, along with me, didn't appreciate the fact that they called the music a British invasion. Oh, she says, what invasion? They're singing in American English, singing rock and roll, which was developed and invented in the United States, in America, and they are not invading anything. Well, we both felt exactly the same. They say that imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, so to all my American musician friends, thank God we don't have to fake the accent.
That's a great story, man. And, of course, Mick got chocolate all over his pants. I love that story. I really do. I had Don Brewer on the show, and my headline read, Don Brewer celebrates 50th year of funk without Mark Farner. And I got a lot of response because everybody, of course, says Mark Farner is grand funk, you know. And that's, it's the truth. That's the truth, you know.
Oh, God bless them. God bless the fans that were standing up for me and standing up for the truth.
Oh, we love you, man. Mark, here's your final question. And I get an interesting response from everybody with this question. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
From the past or the present?
Or the present. They could be gone, you know.
Yeah. I loved Jimi Hendrix, you know. He was my guitar god, and I never did want to get up on stage with him to perform with him. I mean, I would have left my guitar in the stand and walked out there and sang with him, but as far as playing guitar, he was my hero, man. I was like, are you kidding me? That guy was my hero. But as far as teaming up with somebody, I was thinking, just to write music, the guy, what was it, Daryl's House?
Yeah.
I think him and I could write a song.
Cool. Yeah. What, the Hall & Oates guys, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I had Oates on recently, I think like a week and a half ago. He's a cool guy. He's a really, really nice guy. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting. You should be on that show, right?
I should.
Yeah. What the hell's going on, man?
I don't know, man. Let's see what you can do for me.
I will. I'll send them an email. You know, they'd love to have you on that show. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I'd love to be there.
Mark, I want to thank you, man, for being on the show today. Hope to see you in concert soon around the Tampa Bay area again. We miss you, you know?
Well, Brother Ray Sasho, you're a great host. It's always good to be with you, my friend. And if I don't see you in the future, I'll see you in the pasture.
And I know the other Mark down here in Florida probably wants you to go fishing with him again pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Bowser. My buddy Bowser.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He was like, sure, you know, he was my first fan when I started my my show. He was my very first fan. He's a cool,
really?
He's a good, very first fan.
Oh, he's a good one.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Mark. My best to the family. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay, Brother Ray. God bless you, and knock him alive down there.
You too, man. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye now. For more information about Mark Farner, you visit www.markfarner.com. That's his official website. Mark's also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/MarkFarnerAmericanBand. And he's also on Twitter, Real Mark Farner. You can go to YouTube, put in Mark Farner. You're going to find all kinds of stuff. He's also on Instagram, MarkFarner_AmericanBand. Please go to Mark Farner's Mid-Michigan Flood Relief GoFundMe page. Mark Farner launches Mid-Michigan Flood Relief GoFundMe page. The legendary rock and roll guitarist and frontman Mark Farner is helping those closer to home this weekend. He launched a GoFundMe campaign for his Michigan neighbors called the Mid-Michigan Flood Relief. The goal was to raise $25,000 to donate to the American Red Cross efforts to the areas affected by the Midland County flooding. Farner and his wife, Lisa, were the first to donate with $2,000. The link to Mark Farner's Mid-Michigan Flood Relief GoFundMe. Basically, you can just go to the GoFundMe page and put in Mark Farner Mid-Michigan Flood Relief, and you'll find the page. I will also post a link on all my websites and after we archive this interview on YouTube. Also, www.moxiepublicity.com. That's Moxie Publicity's official website. Very special thanks to Melissa Kucerik of Moxie Publicity for arranging this interview with Mark Farner and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Sasho, for the very latest interviews right into your inbox. And guess what? It's real news, people. My new book is finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us all free. You can order yours today on hardcover, the collector's edition hardcover, or ebook at bookbaby.com, also available on amazon.com. Features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. God bless you all. Have a great week, and please, please be safe. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.